Let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." In Mark 14 and Matthew 26 and John 12, these three places tell this same story of Mary pouring out her perfume on Jesus. This is not the same story as Luke chapter 7, which speaks of the sinful woman who poured out her perfume. That is a different occasion. Concerning this story in John 12, we learn that this woman who poured out the expensive perfume is Mary, the younger sister of Martha. It's not the same person as the woman in Luke 7. Here it tells the story of Mary pouring out the expensive perfume. This is something that many people find absurd, even Jesus' own disciples, not just Judas. Judas was the first one to be angry, but following him, the rest of the disciples were also very indignant. Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they were angry at her. They thought it was so wasteful. Why waste these 300 denarii at Jesus' feet? And Jesus said, "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." And then he said, "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial." We know that after Jesus was crucified and buried, there were many women who brought their perfumes to anoint Jesus' body. But by then it was too late. But Mary took advantage of the moment and did what she could. Such a beautiful thing. And how important was this beautiful thing? It was so important to the point that Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." What Jesus is saying is that when we preach the gospel and lead people to accept Jesus, to know Jesus and believe in him, we must share the gospel to such an extent that it causes them to respond like Mary, to break their alabaster jar and pour out their expensive perfume on Jesus. That is to say, the purpose of the gospel is to captivate us to such an extent that we are willing to break and pour forth the thing that is most precious to us, our treasure. Did you know that Mary's family was not a wealthy family? They were not rich. So this alabaster jar is something she saved up for over a long period of time, saving a little over time until she could purchase such perfume to be saved for her wedding night when she would pour it over herself. Therefore, it was the most precious thing in her whole entire life, and she poured it all on Jesus' feet. In some places it says she poured it on his head. In John 12 it says she poured it on Jesus' feet. So we see that Jesus said the purpose of the gospel is to cause us to pour out the most precious thing to us. Otherwise, the gospel has not yet accomplished its main purpose in our lives. Today, many people think that sharing the gospel is just about leading people to accept Christ, and they say, "If you accept Christ, you will have lots of blessings. When you pray, God will listen. If you have any problems, just tell God and he will solve all your problems." We completely don't understand. We think the whole purpose of evangelizing is for these poor people, just like what the disciples said. Why this waste? It could have been given to the poor. All the money should be given to the poor. Don't give it to Jesus. They only thought about the needs of people, the needs of the poor. Today, we have a lot of the same mentality in evangelism. It's centered around people. After someone believes in Jesus, then the whole structure of the church service is focused on how to make people happier and feel more satisfied with the church. But very rarely do we evangelize or structure our church services for the purpose of satisfying Jesus' heart. One of our sisters here just prayed, "Lord, may my love cause your heart to be satisfied." This is the purpose of the gospel. But most of us don't understand. As sinners, we often think, "I believe in Jesus for my own good. I want to get the benefit. Jesus, you must love me. Jesus, you must solve all my difficulties." Including our service, we often pray, "Jesus, give me anointing. Give me power that I may become someone who serves with power to solve other people's difficulties." We often think about these things. But we don't look and think from Jesus' heart and from Jesus' perspective. Today, when I was preparing this message, I just thought, Jesus, when you were on the earth, it was not easy. You had to go through so much. You had to solve so many people's problems. The things that you saw, sickness, disease, sorrow, leprosy, all sorts of man's problems. And you yourself had no pillow to lay your head on. You had no home for yourself. And even when you preached, your own disciples did not understand you. The things that you said brought you persecution. In the whole Bible, Jesus was on the earth for 33 years, and only in this moment did Jesus simply get to enjoy. Only Mary poured out her perfume, and she had no intention of getting something from Jesus in return. Her whole intention was simply to love on Jesus. So she brought her most precious thing and poured it all out on Jesus. So it made me think, it seems like in Jesus' whole life, only in this moment, he could have just this little bit of pleasure for himself. He was on this earth for 33 and a half years. He carried a heavy heart most of the time. I myself have served God for 17 years, especially after coming to the U.S. Whether in L.A. or here, I've seen so many problems. Whether it is divorce, adultery, sickness, or even residence problems, and just the wounds that people carry from their childhood. It's really hard to be happy seeing all of this pain. And then I thought, how much more difficult it must have been for Jesus. Jesus' whole life was filled with trial, and he had to carry so much suffering in his body, heart, and mind because of the sins of the people. Why? Because we allowed sin to enter into our lives. We allowed the devil to enter in. And so our lives are filled with all of these troubles. I thought, Jesus, it seems like you didn't have any moment where you could simply be happy. Only this moment, Jesus was satisfied and was blessed. He was so satisfied because there was one person who didn't just want from him the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, who just wanted to eat their fill of food to perform miracles. She didn't. She just wanted to pour out her most precious thing upon Jesus. Even so, after all these years, and Jesus was given just this little bit of pleasure, his disciples were unhappy. His disciples thought, why such a waste? Why so wasteful? Jesus doesn't need love. Jesus doesn't need money. Jesus doesn't need perfume. Only poor people need it. So we are often like Jesus' disciples. We don't think about what Jesus' needs are. A sister once told me that when she had been among us for a while, and she was in our congregation seeking the Lord, and one day God spoke to her saying, "You often think about what good food to cook for your husband. You often think about what you can buy to surprise him and make him happy. You often think about how to let your husband experience joy and happiness and satisfaction." Then Jesus said, "Have you ever spent some time thinking about what makes me happy? Why not devote some of your thoughts to how to make me happy?" I thought, truly, Lord, we have shortchanged you. We too rarely focus our thoughts on how to give you joy and give you excitement. Our prayers are usually, Lord, I need this, and my husband needs this, my wife needs this, my children need this, my neighbors, my mom. Yet we rarely think, Jesus, what do you need? Jesus has already spoken it here. He set a precedent for his disciples and all the generations after them. He said, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, to let us know that when we believe in God, we accept the one who gave himself up for us and bled for us, the blood of the Son of God that washes us clean of all our sins. And after that, the most important thing is that we serve God himself. Serving him means to offer up to him the most precious thing to us. Today, one of our brothers prayed out loud, Jesus, help me to know what my alabaster jar is so that I may break it and pour it out upon you. Yes, we can ask ourselves this. What is my alabaster jar? Sometimes it's very easy. Sleeping may be your alabaster jar. You need sleep too much. Are you willing to wake up early in the morning? Last Friday in Cupertino, some of our brothers and sisters shared about how they fought hard to get out of bed early in the morning to seek God, to draw close to him. My heart was so moved. It's not out of a routine. There's that prayer meeting every week at 6:30 a.m., you know, but as long as I'm just sitting there, I'll just doze off. It's not because there is some prayer meeting or because there is some rule. No. Many of these sisters shared their testimony about how they prayed to the Lord. God, you must wake me up. Use any methods necessary. Just help me get up early to draw near to you. My heart was so moved. I believe our Lord Jesus is also so moved that the gospel has really been built up in their lives, built up to the extent that these people are willing to give up their most precious thing. It may be the sleep that you so desperately need. Everyone's precious thing is different. Jesus knows. For some people, their most precious thing is their money. We've had people share their testimony, how being motivated by God's love, they were willing to offer up their precious money. The money they had saved up for marriage, they were willing to offer it for the church building. Not only that, this brother prayed, Lord, unless your temple is built, I will not get married. That was this brother's alabaster jar, right? God, only until you have a temple, then will I consider getting married. My entire being will put you first. Everyone's alabaster jar is different. We can ask, Lord, what is my alabaster jar? For some people, their alabaster jar is their children. Their children are the treasure of their heart, but they are willing to put God first. So even if her children are still asleep, but it is time to go to church, she will put the kids in the car and drive to church for the service. She won't think, the kids are sleeping. You definitely should not wake them up. If we wake them, they'll cry. Well, that's no problem. If they cry, then let them cry on the car. Her priority is to pour out her love on Jesus. And then the kids finally fall asleep on the car, and then she has to wake them again to get off the car. Some others succeed the first challenge, but fail in the second challenge, and they end up staying with the kids on the car during the church service because they're not willing to wake up their children and have to deal with them crying a second time. They don't want their kids to cry again. But I do know some others that they will still pick up their children from the car seat and bring them into the church for the service. But you know what? Do you realize that when you pour out your alabaster jar on Jesus, the benefit that you receive in return is amazing? Not only is Jesus satisfied, but you are also satisfied, and your family receives blessing. Because of this mother's decision, her children eventually were able to sleep in any environment. At first, they would cry, but after a while, they didn't anymore. If they cried again, they would still wake up the children, bring them onto the car, take them off the car, and they'd stop crying. And this child's personality became very flexible and able to adapt to many circumstances instead of having a very hard head or stubborn personality. Many times when our alabaster jar is broken, what we discover is freedom. Our chains are broken off. And then in another verse it says, "The whole house was filled with the fragrance. Others are blessed, and I am filled with fragrance. The fragrance of Christ is within us." Of all services, the greatest service is serving our Lord Himself. Dirk once told me that about a month ago, he went to Sacramento to serve, and he arrived much sooner than the meeting started and was waiting upon the Lord with the rest of the brothers and sisters there. And he said the presence of God was so glorious and abundant in that place. And then suddenly he had a thought, wait, I haven't done spiritual warfare yet. Because in the past he had been taught, before every meeting, you need to do spiritual warfare to bind up every evil spirit in the spiritual atmosphere. And so he got up and went to his car and then started doing spiritual warfare. In Jesus' name, I bind up all the evil spirits and oppression in the atmosphere and things like that. And then after he was done with spiritual warfare, he went back into the room to wait upon God. And he said, God's presence was completely gone. He couldn't feel God's presence anymore. And he had to sit there for so long before he could start feeling God's presence a little bit. It was incomparable to the presence that he had felt before, but he didn't know why. Why was it like that? Then on Thursday, he came to this meeting. It just so happened that in that lesson, I was speaking on serving God versus serving the temple. The main difference between serving God and serving the temple is not what you do. It's about your heart. Who is your focus? If your focus is Jesus Himself, and your heart is simply to worship Him and love Him and serve Him, then that is called serving God. Serving the temple, everything outside of Jesus, such as serving people or for church or for whatever, these things are all important. It's important. But when my motivation, when my heart places these things above Jesus, then that is called serving the temple. That day after the meeting, this brother came and told me his testimony. He said, "Oh, after listening to the lesson today, I realized that I was serving the temple. I wasn't serving God." This doesn't mean don't do spiritual warfare. You should not do spiritual warfare. No. However, when God's presence is already so abundant in this place, then the most important thing is to serve Him, to love on Him, to focus on Him, to gaze on His beauty and pour out our love upon Him. That is the most important thing. God's presence is already so abundant, and you're still trying to bind this, bind that in the spiritual atmosphere. God's presence is already so abundant, all the evil spirits are long gone. They're long gone. Unless you go to a place where the brothers and sisters don't understand what it means to love God. And so when you go there, you sense a spirit of slumber, a spirit of lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold. You sense it filling that place. Then you will need to do some spiritual warfare to bind those spirits of slumber and spirits of lukewarmness towards God. On that occasion, you will need to engage in spiritual warfare. However, we sometimes don't understand because we were never taught. The most important object of our attention in serving is Jesus Himself. Often we bury our head in whatever ministry we're in and focus on the people we are serving. We don't understand that God is the most important. I also did not understand this in the past. When I invited a friend to church, I would keep thinking, why does she keep looking around? Why isn't she focusing on the sermon? And my entire attention was on my friend. And then God enlightened me. God told me that I didn't give Him my heart. I gave my heart to people. And so I repented to God. And so what I'm saying is that we often give our heart away to the people that we are serving instead of Jesus Himself. So later on, when I invited friends to church, I didn't care if they kept shifting around in their seat, looking around, not focusing or listening to the sermon or whatever they were doing. I just focused on Jesus and I would give them to the Lord. God, they belong to you. You will work in their life. God, I'm here to love on you. Tonight, the most important thing is to worship you, to serve you. And so I brought people to God. I didn't give my heart to them. Brothers and sisters, this requires practice. It's not easy. Sometimes I still fail and I put ministry first. I was ministering at a church one time, and the pastor said to me, "Did you know that I knew your teacher, Pearl Young, from 20 years ago?" And I was like, "Oh, really?" And he said, "Yes, we served together at a summer conference 20 years ago. She left a very deep impression on me," he said. And he told me the story. During that summer conference 20 years ago, there were a lot of preachers scheduled to preach at the conference, and Pearl Young was scheduled to preach before this pastor. So he was scheduled to preach after her. And so after the worship in that session, the leader of the meeting gave the time over to Pearl Young for her to preach. But she just sat in her chair with her eyes still closed. 5 minutes passed. 10 minutes passed. She still had her eyes closed. This pastor was a little bit anxious. He thought, does she not understand Chinese? Like, why is she still closing her eyes? And then 15 minutes passed and he's thinking, did she fall asleep or something? And then he became very anxious and thought, if she keeps delaying the time, it's going to affect my next session. And then it reached 20 minutes. By this time, he really wanted to go and nudge her and tell her that, hey, you know, it's your turn to preach. And then suddenly, he started hearing people crying. One person after another, all over the stadium, people were crying in repentance before the Lord. He was so surprised. He said this was the first time he had seen a servant of God who understood so well how to partner with the Holy Spirit. So in other words, God had not yet wanted teacher Pearl Young to start preaching. He wanted her to wait. So she did not dare to do anything because Holy Spirit was moving. Holy Spirit was working. Therefore, Holy Spirit was able to do such a miraculous work that day. When a vessel is willing to submit to God and follow Him and allow Him to reign in that meeting, then Holy Spirit can come and do such a great and deep work in people's lives. So at the end, teacher Pearl Young only needed to go up and say a few words. God had already done such a deep work in people's lives. Pearl Young really showed me what it looks like to love God more than ministry. She really did serve God more than serving people. I remember back then, before services, I would see sick people in the church, elderly brothers and sisters, come to teacher Pearl Young, and they'd tell her the sicknesses that they had and asked if she could pray for them after service. And she'd say, "Yes, of course, I will." But after the service ended, she would sit in her chair and continue to draw close to God. Some people had already left, but she would continue to draw close to God. Eventually, the elderly brothers and sisters would come to her again and say, "Teacher Pearl Young, may you please pray for me?" And she'd say, "Yes, I will. But wait a minute. Sit here for a minute and wait. Jesus is pouring out his presence right now. It's better if we don't do anything right now. Just let him work." She was someone who really understood how to follow the Holy Spirit. And that is why Holy Spirit was able to do an even deeper work in people's lives. And you see, she wasn't afraid of offending people, right? Because some sick people aren't able to stay for too long. They can't sit for a very long time. But she was someone who served God all of the time. And she wasn't serving the temple. She knew as long as she followed God and satisfied God's heart, then He would heal people. He would bless people. She has given us such a good example. I strive to do likewise, but sometimes I still fail. I see the great needs of people, and so I still feel obligated to minister to them first. Knowing I was going to preach this message, I repented before the Lord. I said, "God, forgive me." Mary poured out the perfume on Jesus. And not only did she do it willingly, but she also had to endure the persecution of others. It wasn't easy. Not only did the disciples rebuke her, I'm pretty sure her sister Martha probably also rebuked her as well. What are you doing? How in the world are you going to get back 300 denarii? You can love Jesus, but do you have to love him that much? I mean, couldn't you just cook food for him? You could cook enough food and it wouldn't cost 300 denarii, probably 30 at most. Isn't that right? When one person loves God with such radical passion, it often incites offense in people. When people love Jesus without restraint, it often attracts rebuke from other people. But she was willing, so Jesus said, what she has done must be recorded. And wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told. Last week, we talked about how in all of God's ministries, God is usually waiting for the right vessel. He would rather wait for the right vessel before starting the ministry. Therefore, all ministries are sent by God. It's not about, I have the gift, I have interest. I mean, I think I have a lot of talent in this area, so I want to do this ministry. God is waiting for the right vessel that he can use. Also, a vessel that is sent by God is able to endure harsh trials and even unfruitfulness for a season. Just because you are sent by God doesn't mean you'll always see a lot of results. There was a brother who was with Teacher Pearl Young from the beginning when she first went to Taiwan, and he told me that for the first 15 years, there were only 10 to 20 people in the church, and most of these people were already ministers. And yet she continued there serving the Lord, because back in 1954, people were still scared of being filled with the Holy Spirit or praising out loud. People were not comfortable with praising out loud. And she had to teach on that single subject of praise for many years. Brothers and sisters always had a hard time getting used to praising out loud or waiting on God. Some people would get up and rebuke her in the middle of the service. Teacher Pearl Young, how long are you going to sit there and wait? When can we go out and preach the gospel? Right there in the middle of the service, and people would rebuke her. So when you are sent by God, it doesn't always mean you will have results quickly. In fact, you'll usually have a lot of suffering. It was the same with Paul. Paul was sent by God, but when he went to Macedonia, what happened? He was beaten and locked up in jail. Beaten and locked up in jail. However, what I want to say in this lesson is this. Many of us might think, well, I am not sent by God. God hasn't sent me to do anything. But there is a ministry. It's the most important ministry that every person can have. And that is the ministry of breaking your alabaster jar. It's pouring out your expensive perfume upon Jesus. This is a ministry that every person can have. And it's the most important ministry. And it's the foundation of every other ministry. To break your alabaster jar, you need to break it. Some people's alabaster jar may be their reputation. Their reputation is so important. It's extremely important. So they are especially scared that God might want them to get up and dance in the assembly. It's like asking for their life. Are you willing to break it? Are you willing to break it and pour it out upon Jesus? Or are you only thinking about poor people? How do people look at me? What would people think about me? My reputation is too important. I want to save face and dignity. God wants us to pour out our perfume on him. To many people, it looks like a waste. But God says this is a beautiful thing. Therefore, all ministry must cause us to waste ourselves on Jesus. This is the most important thing in all of ministry. Watchman Nee said that one day he went back to visit his hometown, and on the road he met his old college professor. And at that time, Watchman Nee was using a cane because he had a very serious disease. When his professor saw him, he brought him to a coffee house to have tea. And then his professor studied him from top to bottom and exclaimed, "How could you have come to this? Back when you were still in school, you were the most potential student in class. We all believed in you that you would achieve so much. I never thought that you would come to this. Change your life quickly." When Watchman Nee heard this, he felt like crying. He thought, "That's right. How could I serve God to such an extent? My whole body is riddled with disease." And his career, his future, his body, everything was over. Because if his body was this weak, how could he serve anymore? And he was just about to cry when suddenly he felt what it says in the Bible, what it means when the glory of God is revealed. Do you remember where this is in the scriptures? It says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." So Watchman Nee said it was the first time he felt the glory of God revealed in him. He felt so glorious. He thought, "I am able to serve God to such an extent that my body is completely wasted for him, lavished upon him. This is too glorious. It's too glorious. Today I am serving a glorious king. I can lavish my life upon him, waste my health upon him. It's so worth it. It's so glorious." So suddenly he had a change in mind, and he thought it was so glorious, so worth it, in front of his professor. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that serving God is such a glorious thing? Or are you often ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel in front of your family? Ashamed to close your eyes and pray before meals? Ashamed to pray on your knees in front of your family? Or worship and praise God in front of your family? We need to often break that thing that we are most afraid of. The thing that we treasure the most, we need to waste it at Jesus' feet. Perhaps the thing you treasure the most is your sleep. You feel like you never get enough sleep at night. But you know what? That may be your alabaster jar being poured out upon Jesus. Ask yourself, have you ever wasted anything on Jesus? Well, the truth is, it's never a waste when we give it to Jesus. It's only called wasteful because people don't understand. Wasteful means that something is not worth such a price. You overpaid for something. It's not worth you giving up so much time or so much energy. Then that is a waste. But is Jesus worthy? Is Jesus worthy of us wasting these things on him? He is too worthy. Anything done upon Jesus is not a waste. It's not called a waste. I think Mary is too smart. Why is she smart? You see, one day when we get to heaven and we see God's glory, we will want to give everything we have to Jesus. All of our treasures, our gems, our jewelry, our houses, everything, and pour it out on Jesus. We will want to give all of our love to Jesus because he is too glorious. Too glorious. But then it's no longer needed. And you cannot bring your gold and treasures to heaven anyways. Then you will only say with regret, "Why didn't I give all that I had to Jesus while I was still on the earth?" But only Mary, she took advantage of that time, the best time, and poured it out on Jesus. Later on, many people may have wanted to pour out their perfume on Jesus, but they wouldn't get the chance because a few days later, Jesus died on the cross. There was no more opportunity to pour it out on Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. We don't know. We can't say, "Lord, wait until I retire. Wait until I make enough money. Then I will come serve you." It's better to give Jesus the years of your youth. I'm not saying that all of you have to become ministers. But all of you can, starting today, when you are still young, pour out your time upon Jesus. It's not about a routine morning devotion, but you want to get up early in the morning. You want to, even if you didn't get enough sleep last night. You say, Lord, I want to give you my love. I want to give you this time because you are worthy.